Are you searching for adventure?
Twink, bear, cub, otter.
She was like a murdery Gorton's fisherman.
Wait, this happened in the movie?
A lifetime of Hallmark.
Well, hello, everybody. It's your favorite day of the week. Another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about movies on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel and try to make sense of them. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkconnell Barrett.
And hello, Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkconnell Barrett, and hello, Jason Bowers.
Well, another week. Another, you know, week of all sorts of things going on, like a pandemic, like riots, like all this, you know, like it's a heavy time right now. So why don't you take an hour break and listen to us and have fun?
We're doing a quick show today, are we?
An hour. Our shows are usually like 3 hours.
Okay, two, you know what I mean.
This will give you 2 hours to escape. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, anywho,
I found a show. I'm finally hooked on. I found a TV show.
What show?
Homeland.
That new show, Homeland. God.
That new show, right? Homeland. It's the new hip show. All the kids are talking about it. Many kids are on Zoom right now talking about Mandy Patinkin. Do they like his Homeland work or his work in Yentl? No, I have seen the first two seasons previously, and now I'm on season three. But I think about the show when I'm not watching it. That's how much I'm into it.
Are you that obsessed?
Yeah, I'm thinking, yeah.
Is it just that terrifying about the world?
What's that?
Is it just that terrifying about the world?
Have you seen the show?
Yeah, I saw season one. I haven't watched it since then.
Yeah, I guess it's a kind of a... It could be a stressful show, but it's... If everything is stressful around you, it just blends right in. So, it works fine. No, it's really... It's a... Yeah, I enjoy it.
See, I'm watching Breaking Bad right now.
Oh, that would be another one.
And I had to kind of put it away for a couple of days.
Yeah. I just finished Ozark, and now I'm on this. So apparently, I like these kind of shows.
I had to like decompress for a few days, so now I'm watching Charmed. I'm watching Charmed and Once Upon a Time.
I tend to watch comedies to escape. Like I just watched. Space Force, the Steve Carell one on Netflix. It's not great, but it's good, and it's very, very funny.
Is it? I watched three episodes of that, and I got a little bored with it.
I guess I like it because
like it was satirical enough.
To me, it seemed very satirical about just sort of government red tape. I will say it kind of, like at the end, they just jump really fast into a new part of storytelling that wasn't really necessary, and I would have kept watching anyway. And like I said, good, not great.
Right. That's cool.
I do have Black China news.
Oh,
China. I have to have my China.
And now the Black China Report. Here's Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Okay, this is from Daily Mail from the UK. Black China dresses in $5,500 Louis Vuitton accessories while handing out goodie bags to the homeless in LA's Skid Row. In her new statement by her lawyer, Black China is now suing the Kardashian-Jenner clan of racism, claiming it's the reason why her show, Black Robin China, got canceled. We know that. And as she awaits the trial of the two-year-old lawsuit, the reality star spent her Sunday giving back. Ooh. The 32-year-old ensured all eyes were on her in her bright jumpsuit while giving some of the homeless community on Skid Row some goodie bags. China was dressed in yellow and walked around in a pair of $1,000 top-colored Louis Vuitton sneakers. She accessorized with a $4,500 bum bag that featured the monogram design and a white belt around her waist. The mother of Rob Kardashian's daughter, Dream 3, styled her dark hair back into waves and a slicked back high ponytail. China opted for a mask and a pair of gloves and sported a full face of glam. The beauty has been promoting her Skid Row appearance on social media for much of the week. Now more than ever, it is crucial that we come together to help our most vulnerable communities, she began. 40% of America's homeless population are African American. I have partnered with Blessed Bag to bring bags for men, women, and dogs filled with basic essentials to Skid Row this Sunday, June 7th. China asked her fans to donate $15 via Venmo for the bags in the hope of handing out $500 on Sunday. So how about that? She's even giving stuff out to dogs.
She supplied stuff for dogs, but not the children.
No, just men, women, and dogs. And it was very important to her what her outfit was. She wore very expensive clothes as she gave things out to the disenfranchised.
I have my most important question is what was in the bags? Like, they called up Black China goodie bags. Were there like codes for a subscription to Zeus TV?
No, I did see what was in the bags. It was like some little snack packs, like peanuts, like mixed nuts and stuff like that. That was the food. Then there was like some like Purell. There was like some stuff like that. Little things.
Wow.
Well,
yeah.
And about the outfit, I guess she's doing the service too, because she's giving the men some eye candy, you know?
Yeah. She was covered up pretty well. I saw pictures of her. So it wasn't really like a outfit.
It's kind of disgusting that she's using Skid Row and the homeless as a way of promoting products, though. That, to me, that's a step too far for even Black China.
Right. Well, it was pretty lean on Black China news for once. There wasn't a lot of news out there. So she must have just really needed to get out there and get things going. Is there a part of L.A. that's actually called, is actually known as Skid Row?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, downtown L.A. is kind of weird, because for years there was nothing really down there. Nobody lived there. You only worked there and that was it. So there's no nightlife. And probably around when they built Staples Center, it started growing down there because there's more to do. So there's an area that's really cool, has cool restaurants and bars and things to do, places to stay. But if you go like two blocks outside that area, it goes from like, oh, this is nice, to like, whoa, everyone that doesn't have a home is living right here.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like basically one big giant homeless encampment.
Yeah.
But like huge. Yeah. It's pretty sad. So the fact that she did go down there was good. Her motives, maybe not so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the concept of her going there. And I do like the concept of her bringing light to an issue that probably isn't getting a lot of attention right now, but it does seem kind of gross how she did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But China, if you want to come and stick up for yourself, we're more than happy to have you.
Yeah, we haven't. Yeah. Yeah.
Standing invitation.
We can be swayed.
She's not contacted. Not contacted us yet.
Oh,
are we on Twitter? We have our own Twitter, yes. Right? I should know.
We can. We can have our own Twitter by tonight.
I think we have one.
Oh, no.
I think we have it. We just don't remember what it is.
I wasn't sure if we had a Twitter, even though I've been on this podcast for, I think it's been 2 years.
Has it been 2 years?
Yeah.
I think it's been 2 years.
I've been on it for two
really?
Years. Yeah.
Wow. How time flies.
We probably have over 100 episodes, and I didn't know if there's a Twitter.
But yeah, well, we can have a Twitter. We can have a Twitter by like 9 o'clock tonight, Pacific time.
Now Joe Rogan has a Twitter, and that's why he's doing so well.
Yeah, it's Twitter. Twitter's the reason. Yes.
Right.
Speaking of the number of episodes that we have, should we address what we all kind of discover this weekend, or should we save that if we do the thing we talked about?
I think we should. I think if we talk about it, that's going to give us incentive to do it.
All right. So we all often on this pod. On this podcast,
we not explain it. Okay, here we go.
Okay, we often reference the Michael Madsen movie that we watched a while ago, where it was just kind of bonkers because he's wearing like a red jumpsuit. You don't see his face. It looks like he's hung over the entire movie. And so I went to go find this podcast that we did about this movie. The Wrong Neighbor, I think, on Lifetime.
Yeah, The Wrong Neighbor.
Yeah, and I couldn't find it. I looked through where we post our podcast. It's not listed there. I looked through all the files I had on my computer. It wasn't there, but this may have been back before I was editing the podcast. So I reach out to Les. Les can't find it anywhere. So we are not sure if we ever actually released what I think was one of our best episodes of the podcast ever.
So, yeah, and we discussed this, and so we've decided to go back and watch it again.
Yeah.
Which I'm more than happy to watch it again, because it was so bonkers, yeah. It was, like, amazing.
I just remembered, Jason, didn't you send that to somebody one time as a link?
I thought that I did. That's why I'm concerned that I can't find it on Apple or Podbean or in a file. Unless I just sent them the link for the whole show and just told them to go find the Michael Madsen episode. But I even did a Google search for the name of our podcast plus Michael Madsen. It doesn't come up. So yeah. if you listen to that episode.
Was there Eric Roberts in that as well?
No, he had his face covered in another movie. This is just Michael Madsen.
Is it a different one?
This is the one where Michael Madsen was the swim coach.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. He's wearing sunglasses the whole movie.
The whole movie. Well, let's watch it again.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do it again because we're happy.
I am curious though if we actually did release it. Like if you listen to our podcast and you've heard that episode and remember it, let us know because then we know it's somewhere.
Yeah, Heather, Sadie, Ricky. I know those people listen.
Yeah.
Did you hear that one? Heather, Sadie, Ricky. Did you guys hear that one?
And Sadie and Ricky, I'm actually working on a project with Sadie and Ricky, which I can't talk about yet, but I'll be able to talk about it soon. And it let's just say that they basically pivoted to go along with COVID. They had to pivot,
right?
And the pivot paid off.
Oh.
And so they need other people for the pivot, and so I'm one of the other people. So I'll be able to say something soon, but it's it was a kind of I don't want to say a fluke idea, but it was kind of like an idea that has legs, let's just say.
Well, I know what she does, but I don't know if you want me to say, because that might give a hint.
Right.
Okay.
I just don't know if they want me to say anything yet. They probably don't care, but just to be on the safe side.
All I heard was you saying pivot over and over, and it reminded me of Ross on Friends. Pivot! Pivot! When they were moving the couch up the stairs. That's all I heard.
Pivot.
But in this day and age, we've all had a pivot.
Yes.
Oh, Jason, did you go to the march on Sunday?
I was working, but where I work is right along the route, so we saw the entire thing, and right by where the second wave was gathering. So it was a solid 2 hours of people walking by our store. Like, it was just a huge sea of people the entire day.
Wow. Yeah, I had to miss it. I laid up, so I had to miss it. But anywho, well, shall we start?
I think we shall.
Yeah.
Okay. Psycho yoga instructor.
Wow.
So, when I saw the title of this movie, this was a title that the minute I saw the title, I literally messaged you guys and said, oh my God, we are so watching this.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, I was going to say, I was excited as well that just the title is like, yeah. On board, done, let's do it.
Because, you know, after Psycho, after Killer Contractor and, you know, other Psycho movies, the killer ones and the Psycho ones normally, like, deliver. Yeah. Hands down. Like, you don't even have to, like, worry.
Right.
Well, okay.
No.
This one.
Namaste. Okay,
This one was like kind of. Remember when I said the one last week seemed like it was basically just like an extra one that they needed to just finish?
Finish your schedule for
this
the year,
one right? Seemed like that too.
Oh, see, even though I didn't love this and I thought it was slow, I actually thought there was more thought and care given to this one. I felt like the story was almost plausible.
Oh, no, totally. Yeah. Actually.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, remember Killer Contractor? We had, like, you know, staple guns throwing staples at people.
Yeah.
We had, like, household appliances rigged to, like, mess people up.
I know. The ceiling fan we can't stop talking about, but... Yeah, I know. We need to find another movie like that.
I wanted to find... No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I feel like we're spoiled, though. It's sort of like if the first comedy you ever see is Airplane, you're going to assume that every comedy has 8,000 jokes packed into every single joke and it's just nonstop. And, you know, there's a broad range of styles of comedies out there. We're watching Lifetime movies looking for it to be the piece de resistance, and not everything is going to be at that level.
Well, I wanted to see like yoga mats that like strangled people and stuff.
There could be a sequel.
What? Okay.
First, we got this one.
Yeah, they literally, there's a yoga device literally called a yoga block. Like somebody could have gotten hit with one of those and have it not be made of styrofoam. Hello.
Oh yeah.
Or like a strap that like, automatically, like, you know, strangle somebody. Yeah. There's all sorts of things.
Yeah.
You know, incense that's actually poison.
Oh, here we go.
So we start out, we see a bathtub, a very sexy looking bathtub. There are candles around it. It was a good sized bathtub. It could definitely fit more than one person. The music coming into the movie was actually kind of sexy as well. And so I expected to see a woman, you know, I expected to see like you see feet and then you see the leg and then you see a towel drop and then you see like a woman laying there. That's what I expected to see. But no. Instead, it cuts to a woman and she's underwater and she's drowning, right? But then, you know, I mean, it is a Lifetime movie. So, you know, cold open. So I was like, this is the cold open.
Same.
But she's drowning and then she wakes up. And
just a nightmare.
We find out this was just a nightmare.
Clearly she needs a yoga class.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Didn't even dawn on me in that moment how stressed she was.
Oh, yeah.
So then the next day she's talking to her husband. Wait, she's talking to her husband. But now what I liked about this movie is this couple was a couple of a certain age. Like, you know, they were, what would you say? Like they were like late 40s, early 50s.
I didn't think they were that old.
He looked older than her.
He looked a little older than her, but I wouldn't say that they were in their 50s. He was probably in his 40s, and she was probably in her 30s.
He was?
But I liked it because...
I thought he looked older.
Because I thought he was like his like 50s, like early 50s, at least.
I thought so.
I don't think so, because they kept referring to him like moving up at the front. Like, if he were in his 50s, he would be established at that law firm and wouldn't be working so hard anymore. You do that when you're like in the earlier part of your career.
Right. Okay. Actually, that I agree with. But in any case, a lot of these Lifetime movies kind of err on the younger side.
Yeah.
And so right. I did like, though, that they had people. He was definitely over 40. So
he's probably over 40, but she couldn't have been that old because she was trying to have a kid or wanted to have a kid.
No, they're trying to.
You can have your kid in your 40s these days.
Yeah, but they imply, they never came out and said it, but they implied throughout the movie that the reason they couldn't have kids is because of him, not because she was old and couldn't bear a child.
Okay.
But in any case, we find out that they're trying to adopt a child.
Well, first of all, you missed when she woke up from her nightmare, she looks over, her bed is empty, he's not in bed, you see moving boxes in the room, so we know they're new to this house, and then she goes down and finds the husband, Tom, he fell asleep in his office again.
Yeah. And his excuse was, you know, I was working really hard, I didn't want to disturb you, so I slept on the couch. And we kind of find out that him sleeping on the couch is like a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's taking these pills, but I don't know if they ever told us what the pills were.
No. And he didn't even seem to react to the pills when he would take them.
No. And it was like a secret. He was keeping a secret from his wife.
Right.
What he was doing.
Exactly. So then we cut to she's talking to one of her friends, you know, the Lifetime character that they always have, like the sassy best friend. So she's talking to her sassy best friend, Ginny. And so she's explaining to Ginny, you know, what's going on. And then they, you know, they talk about her husband. They talk about, the fact that she's trying to adopt a kid, and like they're not having any luck with that. And Jenny says, you know what you need, Justine? Because her name was Justine. She's like, you know what you need, Justine? You need a yoga class. I go to this yoga instructor. His name is Dominic, and he is sexy and right? Like she's gushing. Uh-huh.
That's what you need.
Right.
You need to stare at this young man's ab muscles. She did mention his abs. That was part of her advice. That was part of her life advice.
Right. So then they go to yoga and they see this young man. He, you know, he's handsome. He reminded me of my cousin.
I loved that when this young man, Dominic, who's the yoga instructor, when he walks in the room, it wasn't like he walked in and like told everyone to like take their places, we're going to start class. He just walked in and started into his cheesy spiel. It was so pretentious and amazing. I loved it.
And
think about a sprig,
yeah.
I'm a sprig of green. I'd like to do that monologue at an audition. Sprig monologue.
I wrote down that this guy totally uses this monologue anytime he has to audition for anything.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
This is from Psycho Yoga Instructor. Okay. I'm a sprig. When a sprig grows, it has no ceiling. It just grows and grows and grows like Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors.
I'm
a little injured at the moment, but before I was injured and before the pandemic, I literally would go to yoga like 5 to 6 days a week.
Yeah. Okay. And I swear to God, this is true. Before the pandemic, right for the pandemic, I joined a yoga studio and I went like every day for a week and a half and then it closed. Oh. I just started doing yoga.
and
there were no male. There were no male teachers.
See, in my class, there are male teachers because a lot of yoga instructors are also actors. But this yoga teacher is the type of yoga teacher that I hate because they don't shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
He talked the entire class. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, it just kept on talking about the sprig.
Sprig, yeah.
And, you
he had
know.
Some very racist thoughts about the president. I don't know. I just love if he just went off on like weird
whole class.
and then the worst is don't talk during Shavasana. And for those of you who don't know, Shavasana is like it's corpse pose, and it's like at the very end of class, you lay in this pose just to kind of, you know, get your energy back and contemplate about how your class went, and just, you know, and it's quiet, and it's supposed to be totally quiet and relaxing. This guy would not shut up.
They have whole classes like that too, where you just lying down, and
yeah,
he would talk the whole time during that. Here's my chance to talk about the sprig.
So then, now, did he talk to her after this class?
Not after this one. I don't think it was after this one. But during class, when they're in Warrior 2, which is the one where you've got like one foot in front of the other and you're like arms, one's in front of you and one's behind you. She's in a Warrior 2 and he like corrects her posture and like leans in and whispers in her ear, you are descending.
Right.
Well, you're so descending.
Creepy. He was so cheesy and creepy.
In the classes I took, you have to... You walk in with a little, like a sign that says whether or not people can handle you or not.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you put that next to you and it says, I'm allowed, I give consent.
Because in my classes, it's like a little, like, wooden nickel. It's like one of those. And if you have one, that means not to touch you.
Yeah.
If you turn that over, do they bring more meat to your table?
Like Fogart and Chow.
Yeah. Glad you got the reference. Thank you.
But he was definitely like in her space. Like in her space.
But she was descending.
And
she was descending. What do you mean by that? She's descending.
I don't know.
I'm
not gonna overthink it.
Descending.
He was not very smart.
I don't know.
Well, we skipped over the part where she did not. She was trying to adopt, but she got her email, so she's not a match.
Right.
So that's something that happened.
Yeah. Right.
Which that's why she's upset. Yeah. So she's upset. So she's in a yoga class with this yoga instructor who is rife with marital trouble.
Now he did have like a hot body, of course. Mm-hmm. But then he also kind of, I don't know about you guys, but he kind of struck me as someone who wasn't so, let's say, bright.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think it was clean. A mix of he had a bit of an accent. I'm not sure. His name's Dominic, so maybe like a Greek accent. It was a little like hint of an accent mixed with a person whose elevator only goes about half the way up the building.
Yeah. And like I said, he was handsome. He looked like my cousin. He really did. But this yoga instructor also, you were right, Kirk. The yoga instructor looked a little dirty as well.
Can I tell the Facebook story about your cousin, or is that a little too much?
No, wait.
Okay, so Les posts a picture of like his cousin, him and his cousin who just met. You just met him, right?
Right.
Yeah, through like ancestry.com, whatever. So, he posts a picture of his cousin, and one of our Facebook friends comments and is like, whoa, he's hot. Well, his wife comments to that with a picture of him with his entire family and says, excuse me.
And
he's taken.
And I said, I'm not touching this one, and sat back.
No. She had a picture at the ready.
I was like, I'm not touching this one at all. and sat back and watched it play out.
It was also funny because he in that picture, because he looked good in the picture you posted, the picture, the family picture, he didn't look, it was like an unflattering picture of him. So she must have really searched for something to work in her favor. Hope she doesn't listen to the show.
But if she does.
But she does. Please let us know if you could find that Michael Madsen episode.
Yes. Maybe she had it removed. She's angry.
I know, boy. If we get some really serious listenership, I'm going to have to really be careful what I say.
Right. So then she goes home, right?
Well, first she and Ginny are talking, I guess, in the car on the way back from class. And Ginny tells Justine that Dominic moved to town 8 months ago. But other than that, nobody knows his history. So we know that this is another Lifetime trope I'm noticing, is the he's new to town and we're about to find out that every other town he lived in, he did the same exact thing we're about to see in this movie.
Yeah, right. Lifetime seems to have a tribe of people who just migrate around from town to town and just cause trouble.
Right.
It's like they have like Mad Libs, and in the blanks, it's like lotto balls of like different Lifetime tropes of dead parent, psycho because their ex-girlfriend hurt him, has a weird job. Oh, okay, it's one of the Psycho movies. Got it.
Here they come.
And Vivica A. Fox is one of those balls, so then they know it's going to be a wrong movie.
Right. And then what I like too is like, so these people are committing felonies and going to these new towns, and they don't like change their look or anything. No. They just look exactly the same.
And they can't live in it. They can't live somewhere for even a year. So maybe there's a special lease that these people get. I don't know. Maniac lease. Maybe staying for 4 months. Okay.
If I was doing felonies like that, at least I would disguise my look when I moved to the new town. No, they don't.
No, I don't really.
And also, there's always a trail of, like, the people that end up doing the digging in the movies, which Les loves, the snooping, they always find that the person that goes psycho in the movie, you just look them up on Google and they're there. It's really easy info to find. It's never hidden.
No.
They're very bad.
I wonder, do you get like a new social security number? Because they're always employed. Do you get like a new social security number? Or like, how do you do that? Do you get like a new license?
They apparently don't need references when they go for a new job. They get new jobs. And
see, now I'm going to be thinking about that all the time.
Oh, you're going to be tearing these Lifetime movies apart for their lack of realism?
Yeah. It's like they live in their own world, and I don't know how they do it.
But so, long story short, Justine is now hooked.
Long story short.
she's hooked on yoga. Like, she's hooked. And then doesn't she go and tell her husband that she's hooked as well?
This is the first scene when she's first telling him about how the yoga class was. Tom seems really disdainful of the fact that she's doing yoga, though.
Right. Very, very.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and then this is also where we find out he's popping pills.
Yeah. Every time he says he has to meet a deadline, or pills.
Dinner. Well, she's got dinner set, candle set, and stuff like that. He shows up late.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's unclear if he wants to try the adoption again. Yeah, things are cold.
Yeah, they're planting the seeds that maybe somehow killed the adoption, not the baby, but somehow they plant that seed that Tom was up to no good.
Yeah.
They do make some choices in terms of cinematography, because whenever the husband and wife are together, it's very dark.
Yeah, you're right. And then they throw in the red herring of he makes a he makes a mysterious phone call to S, who lives in the valley because it was an 818 number.
Yeah, didn't catch that. Was it.
Okay. S, who could it be? Maybe it's Sinbad he's calling.
Right. So then the next day, Justine goes back to the yoga studio, but Dominic is the only one there, and we find out that she showed up to her class a little early.
Good thing she did, though, because he was shirtless.
Yeah.
Is it that hot? Maybe it was hot yoga. You have still to wear a shirt, though, in hot yoga, right?
No. You get to know.
So. Oh, you don't?
Huh? No. And I don't know about, like, where you live, but here, during the summers, in yoga class, a lot of guys take off their shirts during the class, but the guys who take off their shirts during the class pretty much have bodies like Dominic.
Oh, where is this class? Send me the address.
Oh, yeah. Yoga Works.
Okay.
There's one on Fairfax.
Okay.
So it's always the guys who, like,
sign up.
They take their shirts off, but it's not a problem.
Right. No, I guess not.
And I mentally thank them for doing it. So her and Dominic have a conversation, and I do give him credit because he is smooth. He gets right in there, and he can sense that something's wrong with her. And he talks a lot of gibberish.
He remembers her name. She's impressed that he remembers her name.
Yeah, because he's like, "Hi, Justine."
Ooh.
But that's it. But when you think about it, it wasn't that impressive, because when you're a yoga instructor, especially one like that, it seemed like he had a following. So if you have a following, that means the majority of the people in your class pretty much go every day and you get to know them. So when someone new shows up at the class, you'd know it automatically.
And there were only like six people in the class. It wasn't like a room full of people.
Right. No. So that's the thing. It's like, if it's not one of your regulars and then they come back, you totally remember. So then they take the class. Justine makes it through the class. And then at the end of class, Justine is there at the end of class, and then this guy comes up wearing this awful outfit with like a big, huge beer gut and a shirt.
That's later in the movie. That's later.
Okay. Oh.
Well, you just skipped over a scene. That's all. There's a scene where.
Oh, no, okay.
Yeah, there's a scene where she comes home. Well, and that's the other scene where she walks in. He's got his shirt off. He starts telling her she's got a weight on her, and he could be her trainer. He said not a trainer, because a trainer for housewives, but he could put her on a deeper path.
Right.
Private instruction.
And then deeper. And then they go home. I mean, she goes home, and her husband's home early. He frightens her by giving her flowers. And they say, you know, he's happy that she's doing yoga. And she says, "Is this the life we imagined?" He said, "What, being in a Lifetime movie? No, I wanted to win an Oscar for you mean the okay." And she needs him to step up.
Yeah, she's kind of calling him out for not really being there for the relationship. And it's they keep having these like weird passive aggressive fights where he's clearly in the wrong, but the way she approaches the fight is also clearly wrong, so they don't really get anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, it seems like a genuinely troubled couple.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help that he never sleeps in the bedroom. Like, never.
No, he sleeps in his office. But now we're back in that yoga class you're talking about. Now Dominic is lecturing and handling the women. And now it's the part with the dorky guy.
So it's after class. She's waiting to talk to Dominic, and the dorky guy comes up, and the dorky guy like really starts to hit on her. And then Dominic kind of steps in, but Dominic didn't do anything because she just asked Dominic if she could talk to him after class. And at first, I thought she was doing this as a way to just shake the guy to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. But no, she really did genuinely want to talk to him.
Well, Dominic was pretty passive aggressive to the guy. Like, Dominic definitely felt threatened by this guy and tries to alpha dog the situation. Wasn't like a major dick about it, but just kind of didn't leave. And then the guy finally leaves and tells Justine that, you know, some guys will exploit your vulnerability, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she utters those magic words, "Do you coach privately?"
Oh,
dun, dun, dun. Because this is normally when the psycho is in. So she gets Dominic for private coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he thinks
she should be a yoga instructor.
Yes.
She could be a psycho yoga instructor.
Anybody and then could. And so then the next day is when we start a series of very interesting montages. A smoothie montage.
Yeah.
I actually wrote down that it was a smoothie montage too. I actually said it's a yoga and smoothie montage.
She's also really caught up in the spray because she tells her husband she wants to be a yoga instructor so she can contribute to the household. I guess yoga instructors do okay. And she says, I'm a sprig. Like, you're a what?
And when she told the husband that she wanted to be a yoga instructor, he did not take it well.
No, he was super defensive. Yeah, he was a lawyer. He was super defensive anytime she would suggest that maybe she could help with money. Because it wasn't like they were hurting for money. She was just trying to say, like, maybe you don't need to work so much if I bring in some more. Maybe I pick up some of that workload.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he was like a yoga instructor. And he gave her shit about it. But then at the end of that conversation, he actually agrees, like, okay, if it's going to make you happy, go ahead and do it. So then we have more smoothie montages.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess it's to denote the passage of time that she's taking these classes.
Yeah, I like that the smoothie montage ended with Justine and Dominic. I don't know what the pose is called, but they were kind of on their knees and leaning their heads towards each other kind of thing. And they're right. Both meet in the middle of the frame as very Lady and the Tramp, but with yoga.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, everyone,
they were doing crow pose.
Yeah.
They were doing crow pose, the pose where you lift your, like, you go forward and it's almost kind of like you're doing a handstand, but you're not, but because it's lower to the ground, but you lift your backside up. And so your backside is literally like up in the air and you're sustaining your own weight. So that was the Lady and the Tramp.
If Dominic was right, Justine had a very a heavy weight on her. So Justine should have toppled over.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, every position they did, they were facing each other like they're about to start making out. Mm-hmm. Like every yoga position they had. And I also liked when he shows up for the first lesson, he says, "Oh, it's hot out. You better put on a lighter outfit."
Yeah.
Right.
Put on something a little more attractive. We're going outside.
Right. And then I have here in my notes, after they do the crow pose and almost kiss, more smoothies. She mm-hmm. loved her smoothies. Loved them.
She offered him one. He walks in the door. She didn't say, like, can I get you a drink? She said, can I get you a smoothie?
Right. I was thinking, I would have said yes.
You know what I just realized?
And so
You know the woman that's in all those Hallmark movies, and we always comment on she had that giant smoothie cup that she was carrying around? Do you think that she was swindled by this guy?
Oh, totally.
Maybe. I'm trying to think who that was.
She's the one in the last movie. She was the one that was the assistant at the inn who, and she wanted to go get another job because she didn't feel like she was getting enough responsibility. That woman.
All right.
Oh, so then at this point, we find out that Justine has been confiding in Dominic. So Justine is talking about her husband and how her husband like spends more time in his home office than he does with her. And then Dominic says, white lies are toxic. Ooh. Out of nowhere. And so then they're doing more poses, and she's doing bow pose. And as she's doing bow pose, he gets ready to kiss her, and then her husband Tom comes home. And Tom is suspicious, rightly so.
He's pissed.
He's pissed.
Yeah.
And Dominic is friendly, but well, Tom is not having it.
Was he friendly? Because in that moment, Tom comes out, he looks pissed, or at the very least, like, who the hell is this dude? So close to my wife. And so Justine realizes this is awkward, tries to introduce Dominic, and then Dominic, like, alpha dogs and, like, goes up, like, hi there, you must be Tom. He cock-blocked himself in a weird way.
Right. And he kind of...
Yeah, there's a lot of alpha mailing going on.
Yeah.
Right. And, but I thought he kind of used the smoothness that would either work on, like, a woman or a gay guy... but would not work. But would not work on a straight man.
Yeah,
yeah. No.
I think he overplayed his hand in terms of thinking, "Oh, my charm worked on her; it's going to work on him too."
And it did not.
No.
And so then, Tom's not having it at all. Then we cut back to they're doing yoga poses. Tom is doing adjustment. I mean, Dominic is doing adjustments. Tom looks kind of disgusted and he leaves. But what I wrote here is the adjustments that Dominic was doing on her were actually valid adjustments.
Oh, yeah. They were doing valid stuff. And unlike that last movie we saw about cheerleading, where we didn't see any actual cheerleading. At least this yoga movie, people are actually doing legit yoga stuff.
And so then that night, Tom comes home. Tom is pissed. Tom is being an asshole. He's popping pills.
He's drunk off his ass.
He's drunk. He tells Justine that she looked like a cougar on the prowl.
Damn.
He did say that.
Cougar in the prowl. This guy wasn't. I know playing drunk is that old actor thing. It's like, you know, you don't want to be like Foster Brooks. Hey, you know that reference, huh, kids? You know, I'd be like hiccup. I'm trying to hiccup. You know, I can't do a hiccup. I can't do it either. Anyway, so you know, the guy wasn't playing drunk that well. You know what I mean?
I do.
Ed, this is the part.
Yeah, you do. I'm very articulate when I try to explain that. Okay, good.
This is the part where she gets fed up, so she starts in on her. Now listen, but he passed out on her.
Listen, and good, frankly, good for him. Like, yeah, he was an a-hole and came home drunk, but like, what kind of moron is she for choosing this moment? Like, yeah, now is the time when I think that having a serious talk with him is going to be productive for either of us.
Right.
They talked about their therapy, and he didn't really like that. He just said, like, yeah, that therapy was a big help.
Right. So then, as he's passed out, he gets a message on – he gets a text on his cell phone.
From S.
And she did – okay, so – Okay, how do I put this? Ladies and gentlemen, lock your phones.
Yes.
Make sure your phones lock. Because if you don't lock your phone and you get a message, someone can pick up your phone and read it. And as much as I don't condone reading someone else's messages, if you don't lock your phone, then oh well, oh hell, it's your fault that she read the message.
Yeah. I don't lock my phone. I don't have a code. And when I did have a code, my significant other figured out what the code was. Not that she found anything.
But yes, especially if you're married, lock your phone.
This movie did a lot of the lazy graphics for cell phones, which I always complain about when they show a text conversation with two people and there's no history of conversation. It's just the two sentences they want the audience to see in that moment and the rest of the screen is blank. There was a lot of that in this movie.
Yeah. So he gets a text. She reads the text. Yay. Because he didn't lock his phone. And then she did exactly what I would do. She calls the number. Hell yes, I would do the exact same thing. And she was ready for a fight.
She listened to the voicemail.
Yes. And
it was person, S. Yeah, it was S saying, "Oh, we shouldn't move forward without your wife knowing." Yeah, it was S.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So she heard all she needed to hear. She heard all she needed to hear. But then we cut to another bathtub dream. But this time, she's not getting killed in the tub. She's getting some action in the tub with Dominic. So then, next day, Jenny comes over. They have a talk. Jenny gives her some advice.
Was Jenny being weird about her nails and it was never explained?
Yeah, because it was never explained.
But
yeah,
it's not just me. There was, because when she's driving and getting out of the car, she had her nails kind of sticking out like she had just gotten them done or something. And then kind of like tiptoes to the table. And then even the way she's drinking her tea or coffee or whatever, she's like two-handing it with her nails up in the air. So that wasn't my imagination that was odd.
No, maybe they cut a scene. Like maybe her and Jenny went to the nail salon and had like one of those scenes where the nail tech is like, "Girl, this is what you need to do."
Yeah.
Maybe. See, maybe. Like, So then Justine isn't feeling well. She tells Dominic that she's not feeling well. And then he told her he was interested in her, right? Or somebody was interested in someone.
So she's talking about how she's unhappy with Tom, and Dominic says the solution is working on yourself with me. He's a terrible fortune cookie writer.
And by the swimming pool, this is going on. That's right.
So then she starts crying and flipping out. Dominic talks her down, and then they start kissing.
I made a note. She's very pale. Her face was very pale here.
Well, you know.
I don't know. Maybe, yeah, it's just what are those Asian where they're very pale?
Geishas?
Like the geisha girls?
Yeah, she reminded me of that.
She reminded me of Ellen Pompeo with Kate Winslet's eyes. For real.
More specific. As a geisha.
So, yeah, it was Ellen Pompeo.
That's a breakdown of casting.
It's like the most offensive casting session ever.
I'm trying to be careful what I say.
So then they kiss, right? And after they kiss, he gives her a gift. And it's like this little charm thing, and it protects you from the toxins of your life. This guy just threw out shitty line after shitty line.
It was a rock. He gave her a rock like Charlie Brown got for Halloween. I got a rock. But after they kiss, he apologizes, and then he says, "But I lied to you. I'm not sorry."
So then we see another scene. They are making out, and I put here, they are making out in her bathroom, and they're making out with very angry music.
Yeah.
Of course.
And then we see her husband, and her husband is like now drowning in the bathtub, and Dominic is laughing.
And she's laughing too.
Yeah.
We never saw her so happy.
This tub is definitely going to play a role in the real world in this movie at some point, because they keep showing it.
Yeah.
So then she wakes up from her dream, and her husband are actually in the same bed. And they're actually in the same bed. And so then she asks her husband, since they're in the same bed, who is S? Who is that bitch? And then her husband gets mad that she read his messages and went through his cell phone, which, you know what, you're supposed to deny. Even if he catches you, deny it. Mm-hmm. But so he's mad at her, right? And they're doing another yoga class
at midnight.
Oh no, there's a yoga class. Here's the deal. Yeah. This is the problem I had with this movie. Because wasn't that supposed to be like 1 a.m. when Justine wakes up? Like it was late. Who has a yoga class at 1 a.m?
I don't know. I know what people do it like early, like 6:00 a.m., 6:30 a.m.
Oh, I've been to those, but this was at night.
Not 1 a.m.
It was literally, he referenced it being a midnight yoga class.
When there was thunder and lightning. Yeah. I wouldn't want to do one at midnight.
Okay, see, that's just, who has the energy at midnight to do yoga? Like, daytime is one thing, but after, like, 9 o'clock, I'm done.
I guess the argument could be that either it's someone that works different kinds of shifts, or it's those people that really want to be super at one with the earth, and they feel that somehow the strike of 12 is somehow significant. I'm not sure.
But this is another problem.
Market to those people.
Whenever I do yoga, I didn't know about you, Kurt, but whenever I do yoga, I have a lot of energy after the class. So if you're doing like a midnight yoga class, you're not sleeping that night. So, right.
So it's a yoga class full of drug dealers.
Seriously.
It's a yoga class full of people on coke.
People have narcolepsy. Yeah.
Right? If you're going to a midnight yoga class, that's just trouble. There's nothing that sounds right about that at all.
It's a good front. Like, I'm going to a midnight yoga class and you're going out to cheat on your wife or whatever.
Right.
So maybe it could exist for that. But, you know, this class actually had people in it.
But there were no men in the class. It was all women.
No, there's no men who take this yoga class except for that really dorky guy with the gut and the headband. But he's not there for the midnight class either.
No, he's not there either. So then, meanwhile, Tom and Juliet are, like, fighting. And then Tom is yelling at her and saying, you know, since you've been going to this Dominic guy, you've changed. And he says, you know what? I'll tell you who S is. And he calls the number.
You are jumping way ahead here.
No, oh, you know what? I actually got my note. You know what?
Yeah.
I know what I did.
Like, way
on the same page.
Because we're still in the yoga class. Sorry about
that.
It goes back and forth in the movie.
It does, but I don't think it does at this point with the scene Les is talking about right now.
Because he did say call. Yeah. He said call, and then it cut back to the class. That's what happened.
Okay.
Okay,
he tells her to call, and then it cuts back to the class, this woman who looked like she had seen better days comes walking into this class.
Well, she needs to take a couple yoga classes. Yeah.
And she's yelling at him, and she's calling him Elijah.
Yeah. And by the way, Ginny is in this midnight class, so Ginny is there witnessing all of this.
Yes. And so she's yelling, Elijah, I left my husband for you.
And her kids.
Yeah, and her kids.
Yeah, he's trying to deny it. It took her 2 years to find him. And she says he was also JS in Torrent. I forget where that was, but he was in Portland. His real name is Sebastian Nikos.
Right. She yelled at all the aliases. And I'm like, girl. Yeah. Wreck his world.
I have your other names, too. Elmer, Lenny, Dolly, Dudley. She goes through them all.
Robbie, Bobby, Ricky, Mike.
We're paying for a yoga class. What's that?
I said Robbie, Bobby, Ricky, Mike. New edition.
Larry, Daryl, and Daryl.
Yeah.
Oh!
But I like that, though, because she's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to wreck your world before, like, it's like, she's like, I know you're going to kick me out any second now, but I'm going to get in these women's head before I go. Because then she goes to hit him, and he grabs her arm. And as he's kicking her out, she's yelling, he's not the man you think he is.
And they're like, hey, fuck you. I'm trying to take a yoga class.
Right.
I don't care who kind of man he is.
Right. Wait until after Shavasana.
Yeah.
Exactly. So then we cut back to just me. We cut back to Justine and Tom at their house. And Justine then calls the number, and we find out that S is a person who works at an adoption agency.
Who he's banging on the side.
Yeah. And so he said that he may have found another baby, but he didn't want to tell her until it was a done deal because he didn't want to get her hopes up. And I was
I'll tell you what, he's very forgiving of his wife. This happens again. So okay. Okay, no problem. How manipulative. I make her sleep out in the garage.
She starts softening, and then he throws in the other, like, he did it because he was afraid he was going to lose her. And so, and then she's like, then she's turned into like a puddle of like, oh. And so then they make up. Mm-hmm. And so then it cuts to Ginny. And then Ginny did something that I would do. She calls a friend.
She called her ex. It was her ex. Her ex-husband.
Oh, she called her ex.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because they mentioned her ex's name early in the movie. It's Jeff, and she calls Jeff. That's why she's like, I gave you the Malibu Beach house. You could do me a favor.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
But that's something I would do. I would call an ex for info, too.
Yeah. So she calls Jeff to have him look up Sebastian. Because, again, no one in this movie knows how to use Google.
Because I love the fact, though, that she tells her ex that who had a friend who had a friend.
There's always that character in these movies also, that the investigator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going to get to the bottom of stuff. Yeah.
You need a friend. You need a friend like that. You need a friend like that.
You need a private eye. Yeah.
I'm that friend.
You need Mrs. Columbo.
Right.
Well, there's a reference.
Kate Mulgrew.
Well, you know that. Yeah, yeah.
Kate Mulgrew is Mrs. Columbo?
She's Mrs. Yes. It was a very short-lived show. The only reason I know about it is I read an article about this. I don't remember the existence of this. But, you know, I never watched Columbo. It was before my time. But they always talked about a Mrs. Columbo, but you never saw her.
Yeah.
So after Columbo was done, they came out with Mrs. Columbo with Kate, from Star Trek.
And yeah.
Oh, sure. She was red.
Sister Kate,
red,
hello.
Orange and black. Yeah.
See, my dad loved Columbo, so we would always watch Columbo.
Well, the Columbo people didn't like Peter Falk, and they didn't like the existence of the show Mrs. Columbo. They thought that the harm
that it sullied the image of the Columbo
brand. Yeah, and then I think after the Mrs. Columbo didn't work out, they brought back Columbo for like some like TV movies.
I remember those back in the 90s. Yeah,
never worked. Yeah, they pretended the Mrs. Columbo show never existed.
He was always very disheveled looking.
That was his shtick, though. That was his way of disarming people so they would just tell him whatever he needed to know. Is because they didn't think that he was competent.
See, even though we watched Columbo, I was more of a heart-to-heart, heart-to-heart fan. They were glamorous.
Yeah.
I like Moonlighting. I have to watch that.
That's a good
show. You know what, though? Someone was telling me that they watched Moonlighting and that didn't hold up, because some of those detective shows hold up over the years, and they were saying that Moonlighting didn't hold up so well.
I
can see that
recently.
I could see that, because outside of season 1 to 1.5 or so, it's not very good. Once you started learning about all the turmoil between Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd on set, so that it started creeping into the show.
Yeah, they hated each other.
Mm-hmm.
Hated each other.
That was a big trend, though, the romantic detective dramedy. Because you had Remington Steele, you had Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Mrs. King.
Yeah. I think the Remington Steele people, the people who were involved in that show, were the ones who also did Moonlighting also.
Oh, really?
I like Miss DePesto.
I think so.
Miss DePesto.
Remember Miss DePesto?
For sure.
Yeah. Elise Beasley.
Mr. Addison, you got a phone call.
And Booger. Booger was on that show?
Yeah, that's right. Booger was her boyfriend.
Curtis Armstrong,
I remember the one where Whoopi Goldberg was on.
I remember that too. That was their season finale. Yeah, and Judd Nelson was on that episode as well. Because they ran off the set, because they would always like break the fourth wall. At the end of that episode, Judd Nelson aims a gun at them, and the prop department takes a gun away from them.
I was like the
Addison, you got the phone call.
The guy that played David Addison, Bruce Willis's character, his brother was Charles Rocket, who was fired from SNL for saying the F word live on air by accident.
That's right. Yeah.
So when I first moved to LA, my first job was I worked at a pet store in the Beverly Center, and Charles Rocket used to always come into that pet store.
What?
Charles Rocket. Paul Scorvino played the dead. Yeah, the Charles Rocket story is not a good ending, though. It's very sad.
No. Because the thing is, if that would happen today, he wouldn't have been fired.
No. They didn't fire Jenny Slate when she did it. Jenny Slate, rather.
No, Jenny Slate. They waited for the end of the season. They got rid of her. She wasn't a good fit. But she's very talented. I like her.
Yeah.
But you know what happened to Charles Rocket in the end, right?
Didn't he commit suicide or something?
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah. He was cute.
Not to bring the show down.
He was cute. My job back at the Beverly Pet Center years.
Jenny Slate's cute. I saw Obvious Child recently.
She has a very, very funny recurring role on Parks and Recreation, which I loved.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. Did you watch the show?
No, I think I've seen a few episodes. That's it.
So there's a character in the show named John Ralphio that had been on since probably season 2, played by Ben Schwartz. And he's just like the douchiest, most freeloading person you've ever met in your life. And so, you know, you learn to love to hate him or hate to love him. And then a couple seasons in, they bring her on as his sister and Henry Winkler on as their dad.
Oh, how funny.
Oh, yeah. Funny. Yeah, I remember that episode where she says the F word, although I said it earlier in the show too. She says it in that sketch with a Kristen Wiig, and you can just see the expression on her face if she accidentally says it. She's like, oops.
Yeah, it was the sheer terror of, oh my God, this is my dream job. I'm on show number one, and I just lost my dream job.
Yeah, it was her first show.
Yeah.
And that was...
But they didn't fire her, they just let her go.
Like, no,
they
let she was her on it for a year.
The whole season.
She was on it for a year, yeah. It probably wasn't the best. Might not have been the best, but she's great. I mean, you know.
Well, and frankly, the sketch that they were doing, that was the producer's fault for allowing that sketch on the air anyway, because the whole hook of the sketch was they're not really actually saying the F word, and she screwed it up and actually said the F word. So, like, if there's danger of something like that happening... That's on the producer, not on her.
Right.
Well, that happened to Paul Schaefer too. Before Charles Rocket, he was doing a character where he kept saying like flipping, fucking. They said it once, but he got away with it.
He's in the moment. He was in the moment.
Yeah.
Speaking of in the moment, so Justine and Tom are talking in bed. They had makeup sex.
Yeah, this pills works.
But then he says he tells her he's going to stop taking the pills.
Oh, that's right. We don't know what the pills are for. We never found that out.
When he said that he stopped taking them, she had this look on her face like, I don't know you're taking pills. She looked surprised by the fact that he seemed to think she knew about the pills, and she seemed to look like she didn't know about the pills.
What could they have been? Allergy pills? They weren't. It wasn't like, it wasn't Viagra. Why would he be taking that? He can't be doing anything for, I don't know, for a sperm count? No, I can't figure out what it's for.
Oh, I think it was like painkillers or something.
There's a sperm count pills that I know of. Maybe there are. I don't know. I can't figure it out.
So then Dominic comes over the next day. Tom enters the door.
After Justine had texted Dominic saying that the session is off, and he punched a mirror in the yoga studio, by the way. But he shows up anyway.
Right. And so then Tom is answering the door and being very cagey, you know. And Tom had a boarding pass in his pocket because we see him before he answered the door, he was packing. And so then, Dominic is like not even having it. And so Tom then starts his spiel, you know, you need yoga. And Tom's still not having it. And then he throws out the, you know, she tells me all your problems.
And he also says, I gave your wife what she needed. Like, he is definitely trying to make Tom think that they are banging.
Yeah.
And she said she's done with his yoga for a while. She's done.
Yeah.
She canceled her session.
Yeah.
They still showed up.
So then we see her making another smoothie.
So many smoothies.
Because she loves smoothies.
Yeah.
And so then Dominic comes over.
Who is the bigger problem? Tom with his pills or Justine with her smoothies?
I think Justine with her smoothies.
It did seem excessive.
Because remember, there was that whole montage where it wasn't like one or two smoothies. It was like a bunch of smoothies.
Yeah, she better be careful.
Yeah.
I bet she's regular, though.
Well, that's good. Depends on what she's got. But I don't know.
But those protein farts.
Justine tells Dominic she needs to be, you know, she's cutting it off. And then Dominic gets pissed. And he's like, no! And he blames Tom for it. And then he tells her, you know you love me. You're breaking my heart. And he goes all psychotic. And then he throws out the whole, you know, I'll give you all the time you need. Like, he goes psycho and then, like, goes back into, like, normal mode. Meanwhile.
He says he loves her.
Yeah.
Yes, he says he loves her. Meanwhile, Jenny gets her hot little hand on some mugshots.
Oh, wait, he squeezes the broken glass. Don't forget that. He picks up that broken glass from that mirror that broke. And he starts, like, walking
isn't that the
like
next day like that he does that?
No, that's here.
Okay.
That's, he's like, take all the time you need. He keeps walking around. He's walking around like a psycho yoga instructor. And he's saying, take all the time you need. And he starts squeezing the broken glass in his hand.
He said,
or the stigmata.
You know how we were talking earlier about how he didn't seem that clear and present, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
When he's talking to Justine here, he's just dawned on me who he sounds like. He sounds like Tommy Wiseau in The Room. He goes, "You're breaking my heart.
Yeah.
You are stabbing a knife in my heart, and I am scaring you." It's so weird.
What's the character's name? It says, "Hi, Tom." What was it? Tom. I forget what it is. But anyway. Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hello,
doggy.
Like, yeah. You know, sometimes the psycho characters in Lifetime movies, they're a little bit, they're like off the walls. But this is like a very dark, sullen character.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jenny gets her hand onto mugshots. And, okay, I got to tell you, Justine has done something in this next scene that most Lifetime heroines don't do. Justine actually used her common sense and believed her friend. So the pictures that Jenny had, she had a picture like of his first wife, where he like she had like a black eye, and then basically. We find out that his MO is he goes for married women, he gets what he wants, and then he leaves them. And then the last picture that Jenny had was a woman hanging. And they suspect foul play.
Yeah, because the woman apparently was afraid of heights, and she hung herself from the top of this like clock tower.
Yeah. Mm. So then Justine confesses to Jenny that she kissed him. And this is the part that I was like, yay, Justine. Because the friend's like, I'm going to go to the police, pack a bag, come to my house. You're spending the night. Most of the heroines on this channel will be like, are like, no, I'm fine, and stay in the house. Jenny was getting the, Justine was getting the hell out of there.
Yeah, a lot of times in the Lifetime movie, the cop will be like, just go home where all the crazy stuff happened and rest a little bit. Go to your house where all the crazy stuff happened and just wait for something to not happen.
Leave the door open so you have a nice breeze coming in and help you sleep.
Yeah, they even showed Justine locking a door. I was like, oh, this movie is not going the way I think it's going to.
Right. So Justine is like, getting a bag together to go to Jenny's house. And then she goes to the door. And then as she's at the door, Dominic grabs her and puts a knife to her throat.
Well, she's locked. The door is locked from the inside, and it takes her a long time.
Yeah, like the chain. The chain's got blood on it.
Right. Yeah. But she had enough time to unlock that and get out, but she's moving very slow. Yeah, and then he grabs her.
Right. So then she makes a call to Jenny saying that she isn't coming. I wanted her to try to, like, leave a code.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know.
Yeah, I felt like that too because, like, Jenny knows something's up with Dominic anyway. And Justine probably thinks that Dominic doesn't know Ginny knows, so she could have said something to cue Ginny in.
Right. Like, I was wrong. Like, something like that, where Ginny would be like, hey, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, or you're talking, like, nonsense. I heard people doing that. Or not nonsense, but you give, like, the wrong answers to things. Like, are you doing well? Yeah, the car's in full operation. Mm-hmm. What? Okay. You know, like, that's
yeah.
code. Yeah.
So then Dominic says that he wants a partnership with Justine. And then he asks Justine if she loves Tom, and she's like, well, he's my husband. And then Dominic gives a psycho monologue. And
that's going to be your lifetime movie, Kurt. Psycho monologuist.
Psycho monologuist. Well, so good. Less.
Ooh,
he could be a psycho.
I would go see that.
Oh, we could all do it. It's all just monologue. little vignettes of us being psycho, alone.
Right.
Psycho. That's right. The psycho mall that we could. We've got the time. Psycho monologuist. Monologuist. I like it.
So then he kisses her again. Dominic kisses her again, and he's like, do you love him? And she's like, you're damn right I do. And she hits him.
It was like
she hits him and tries to get away.
Well, they broke out into that song from Fiddler on the Roof. Do you love me? And I believe I love you too. It was really, I didn't expect
that. It was jarring.
So then she hits him, tries to get away.
It was. Okay, that's all.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question.
About Fiddler on the Roof?
Where do you buy chloroform?
Right.
Well.
Because all of these characters have chloroform.
Well, his character.
On the black web.
It didn't make a lot of sense how he just magically had chloroform in the heat of that fight of her getting away and him running after her. Because it was at the ready in a cloth and he just put it around her. It wasn't like he had to prepare in anticipation that she was going to try and get away.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I never went shopping for it, but I'd be willing to walk into Lowe's and just say, where's your chloroform? See if they send me to an aisle.
Everybody has it. Everybody.
Yeah, in these movies, yeah.
I'm Googling it right now. Let me see.
Yes, please find out.
I can't wait to see your ads on Facebook.
And how about
There are YouTube videos that show how to make your own. I like it. You can buy it online. There's an Amazon link. Let me see if they actually sell it.
Yeah.
All right. This is great. This is going my search history.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. When you go on Amazon and search for chloroform, it just gives you like sleeping aids, like melatonin and stuff.
Purchase some chloroform.
But I guess if you can make your own, though, then there you go.
No. I'm not going to tell you the ingredients on this podcast. Go Google it yourself if you really do actually need some chloroform.
Right. Well, I'm curious. What's one of the ingredients? I'm just curious. Is it a?
I already closed the window, but I saw a bleach bottle. I started to type in how to make CH, and it thought I was going to say covered strawberries.
That sounds good.
Oh yeah, it's bleach. Okay. Yeah, bleach is one of the items.
Okay.
It takes some time, though. There's like 30 minutes for a chemical reaction to happen. Like, I'm impatient with like a 2-minute microwave meal.
Wait, so the chloroform is supposed to, it's supposed to take 30 minutes to work?
To make the formula to turn it into chloroform, to like make it active, I guess.
Oh, they tell you how long the preparation is, how long the baking is.
This is a cooking website, you know?
Prep time.
This is like the
Betty Crocker's chloroform.
Yeah, this is like the Julia Child. I wonder if Julia Child invented it. Wasn't there a rumor that she was a spy?
Yes, there was.
Oh, she may have been.
Yeah, so go make yourself some Julia Child chloroform.
Oh, okay. So then he. Okay, this is another weird scene. Because he walks over to her brush. Like, she had, like, a drawer of brushes. And he takes her hair, like, a hair out of her brush.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I thought he was going to do something with that. yeah, Kurt, maybe he wanted to clone her.
Yeah, what a cloner. Well, that's what happened in that movie. Was it AI where the teddy bear, Teddy, he gets the... Oh, anyway, it's taking 2 hours.
That happened on Guiding Light.
2 hours to tell the story.
That happened on Guiding Light.
Yeah, you get a hair and you... Well, anyway.
Josh thought that Reva died in a plane crash and he was so distraught, he got a scientist to make a clone. But then Reva wasn't dead, and when Reva came back from the island, there was Reva and a clone, and they named the clone Dolly, like the sheep that they cloned. But then what happened is Dolly, like, aged very quickly and died.
This is a very science-heavy episode. If there are any science, like, any grammar school science teachers out there who would like to play this play this show for your class.
What show is this?
What?
What show is this, Les? Which soap?
Oh, Guiding Light.
Oh, okay.
It's a show called The Guiding Light.
So they should release those on DVD. It's a good way to recruit kids into STEM programs.
Right. Oh, okay. So Justine wakes up, and she wakes up to the sound of a rocking chair and a bathtub being filled up.
I like this guy always wears his yoga clothes, even this situation.
Yeah.
We never see him without his yoga clothes.
Well, okay, it looked like he wore the same yoga clothes, like, every day, too.
Yeah.
He did not look like he washed those yoga clothes.
He doesn't own long pants.
He doesn't need them. No. The pants are coming off a lot.
Because he was in shorts the entire movie.
Hmm?
I said he doesn't need them. The pants are coming off a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So he tells her that his grandfather had a rocking chair just like she did. And then he tells her that her problem is it's the toxins that's making her the way she is. And then he has the nerve to ask her if she slept with her husband after they kissed. And she's like, of course, it's my husband. So then he makes her get into the tub and he starts to try to drown her. So basically her bathtub dream was foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about that? They threw foreshadowing in the mix. They were getting fancy in this Lifetime movie.
How dare they?
I think they misunderstood it though, because there were literally four bathtub scenes before this one. Foreshadowing.
There you see?
Four.
There you go. There you go. Like, on the Easter egg of this movie, they'll tell you. So he's trying to drown her. She starts to fight back. And he's telling her to calm down. And he keeps on telling her, I'm not stupid. I'm not stupid. Where I wrote, I kind of beg to differ, because you kind of are. And so Justine gets an idea. So she stops fighting him, and she kind of calms him down, and she looks behind him, and she has crystals at the side of her back.
It's that big ass crystal he gave her. It's the big one he gave her.
Yes. And it was purple, and it looked like it was an amethyst.
Yeah.
So she sees it. So then she starts kissing him, kind of like, okay, you got me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, starts totally just, like, making out with him, right?
Which is not, like, cheating. Not cheating. No. That's one of the few examples where you can say it's absolutely not cheating. She does take advantage of that moment.
Yeah.
Making out to save your own life?
That's right.
I think you get a pass for that.
You get a pass for that, and there's not a lot of things you get a pass for.
So Justine starts making out with him, and then she grabs the crystal and it beats him over the head.
Mm-hmm. I guess I guess if she recounted that to her husband, he might be like, well, how long did it take? Did you say, you know, shouldn't you have grabbed that thing a little sooner? You spent a little too much time making out with him?
Like, how long did it take? Did you enjoy it?
So maybe you can't get away with anything.
So then she hits him over the head with the rock. He falls into the tub, like underwater. She jumps out of the tub. She goes running. And for a minute, they made it look, because she had a hard time like unlocking the door and stuff. And for a minute, they made it look like maybe he was going to get out of the tub and go and grab her.
Yeah.
Because she was really fumbling with the door. So then she finally opens the door. She runs out. Her husband is there, but she's so like wigged out about the whole thing that it takes her a minute to like realize that it's her husband. Yep. So then she and Tom go upstairs. Tom grabs a bat, which we're learning bats are very big on Lifetime movies as well. So he grabs the bat, and they go to the bathroom, and Tom is gone.
You mean Dominic is gone.
Dominic. Dominic is gone. And then they see blood prints that go out the window. So he hopped out of the window. That window looked like it was tiny, though.
It was very tiny. It was like a small bathroom window, not a normal size window that anyone would climb out of. It seems like you would have to really squirm to get through there. He's bendy, but not that bendy.
Well, right. He did yoga and got out of there. So then the cops come.
And, a cop, cop, you know, lone, cops are there. Lone police officer. Lifetime does love to skimp on the police officer at the end of the movie. There's always only one.
Because they're like, well, he's already gone. The criminal's already gone.
Yeah.
So they get a call, and they got a baby. Yay!
A baby girl who they will name Dominique.
Yeah.
Now, these are always my favorite endings to Lifetime movies. We then cut to a yoga class. Then we see Dominic walking in, and he has a big man bun and a weird accent. And I forget what he said his name was, but it was a different name. And his accent, it was like a heavy, weird accent.
He wasn't putting on an accent, though. He had a weird accent the entire movie. Yeah.
I guess maybe it then just came out more in this scene.
Maybe, but it didn't, at least to me, seem like... They were trying to play this up like he was in another country or trying to play like he was from another country. That's how he sounded the whole time.
He's wearing the same yoga outfit, the exact same one. Mm-hmm. So I guess he got the blood out of his shirt.
Yeah. Well, luckily he got to soak it in that bathtub. So he maybe got some of it out there. Yeah.
So then he starts his class and then he sees a woman. And they lock eyes. The end.
Hey, ladies, you can't fall for this.
No.
Don't fall for these traveling maniacs.
He's got a big scar on his face and just moved to town. Come on.
No, you can't. Don't get involved with someone who just moved to town.
He had a man bun.
Yeah.
Oh, well, never mind then.
So this was one of these movies where I wasn't mad at it. But then at the same time, I wasn't thrilled by it either. Like, it was just kind of there.
I was mad because when you put the word psycho in the title of your movie and you pair it with words like yoga instructor, it should be insane. And it wasn't.
Right.
Yeah, the possibilities were limitless. They could have had psycho meditation, psycho... Vision Quest could have been going on in this movie. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I just and like him, just like yelling, look to your mind's eye.
I like the psycho. If they could be a psycho meditation teacher, but they've got to really do it right. Everybody's really screwed up because they can't even relax from meditation. It's just so insane.
Right. Maybe they'll have killer meditation teacher. So I guess we've decided that we're going to rewatch The Wrong Neighbor, which I'm very excited about. I'm very excited about it, actually.
I am too.
You're wrong.
Okay, good. Yeah, I remember that.
Like a and,
so even if we did post that one, it's gone MIA. It'll be nice to revisit it now that we've been doing the podcast a couple of years and see if we remember it.
And now that we are like more attuned to the different worlds.
Yeah.
You know, the wrong. Because was Vivica A. Fox in it?
No, I think this may have been the first one with The Wrong as part of the title. So it was before they realized they could make it a franchise, kind of.
Right. Before Vivica was like, you know, I can get a producer credit for that.
I'll come in, I'll say the title of the movie at some point. It's really the only idea she the only idea she brought to the table is that she's going to say the title of the movie in the movie.
Right. So it is going to be interesting watching it now that we're familiar with like the world and the structure. It's going to be very interesting to watch. Yeah. So I'm very excited. Very excited.
Yeah, I think it's the only one we've seen with Michael Madsen. I don't think he's shown his face in any of these other ones. You know who else needs to get into these movies? Tom Sizemore.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, he should.
I agree.
Yeah, seriously.
I put Sizemore. I would put Randy Quaid in there as like a grandpa.
Isn't Randy Quaid on the run? Or
no, a friend of mine produced a movie and he's in it.
Really?
Yeah, he's got a role in it.
How did they get that thing insured?
He really went on the run, right?
Yeah, like years ago. They got him in it. And I think Kathy Najimy, whatever she's in
Kathy,
it.
Kathy Najimy, like yeah.
He's got a whole cast of people in it. But yeah, I was like, whoa, how'd you get Randy Quaid? But I don't think I asked him. I said, oh, great, you got Randy Quaid, because I didn't get an answer.
Because last I heard, he was on the run in like Canada or something.
That was a while ago. Movie.
I should plug this movie for my friend. But
I'll do it.
I have to look it up. Randy Quaid. Okay.
While you do that, I'm going to look up more things about chloroform.
Except Randy Quaid. This is my buddy's. My producer buddy's name is Spiro. Oh, it's called All You Can Eat. That's the name of the movie.
Oh, with Randy Quaid and Kathy.
2018. It's listed, but I think it just came out on like on demand or whatever. Yeah, let's see. Jason Mewes. Yeah, Kathy Najimy. Yeah. Yep, it's a real movie. So, and Randy Quaid has a role in it.
Oh. I'll watch.
So that's cool.
I will watch.
Okay, that's that. My buddy's name is Spiro Stamboulos.
Nice. Cool. Oh, no, he's not Greek or anything, is he? No.
Does he teach yoga?
He teaches yoga. Yeah, that's that. Okay, so that's exciting. Spiro, I just plugged your movie. I'm sure he doesn't.
Right. There you go, Spiro. And speaking of which, if we're plugging, I actually have another podcast, and it's called Soap Opera Love in the Afternoon, where me and my friend Jordan Hudson talk about the soaps for the week. We talk about the four American soaps, and now we've started talking about three of the British soaps as well. So we talk about the American soaps, and then we talk about Coronation Street, Emmerdale, and EastEnders as well. So you know what that means, you guys. I'm now watching 7 soap operas a day.
Yeah.
Really? So 5 days a week, you watch 7 a day?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Or else just sometimes just save it up. So like with the British soaps, actually, without commercials, they're only like 25 minutes long.
Okay.
And even The Bold and the Beautiful without commercials is only 18 minutes long.
18?
Mm-hmm.
It's a half-hour show.
Right.
Before
who? And you know who's on The Bold and the Beautiful right now? Denise Richards.
Wow.
Good for her.
She plays Shauna. Or yeah, it is Shauna. Yeah, she's Shauna. She's Flo's mother. Anywho.
Okay.
Right. Anywho, you want to get a hold of us, you can find us on Facebook at A Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast or on Instagram at A Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. You can find me, Les Kirkendall Barrett, on my website at Les Kirkendall Barrett. Kurt.
I'm at KurtFitzpatrick.com. And that's about it. And yeah, that's what's going on. And you can watch my TV pilot. If you've seen every other show in existence during the pandemic, you can watch Campus Martius. It's at CampusMartiusTV.com.
Jason.
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason.
And there you go. Another week, another movie. So I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.